Welcome to our breakout session on conversational AI best practices of building bots. My name is Elaine Chang. I'm very honored to co-present this session with my colleague Vishwak. So both of us are from the Azure Bot Service team. Our team, together with a lot of partners, have worked with many customers around the world building bots. And then in today's session, we are going to share with you the best practice we've learned. So nowadays, bots and conversational AI are transforming how people interact with computers and how business provides services to their employees and customers across all different languages, cultures, and industries. So let's show off our hands. How many of you have built bots? Great. How many of you believe that you know how to build great bots? Not a lot. Okay, so what we are hoping is by the end of this session, a lot of you will be able to walk away with an answer for that question, how to build a great bot. So to help companies across the world to build their conversational AI for their digital transformation journey, 2 years ago at Microsoft Build Conference, we announced the public preview of Microsoft Bot Framework. Then last year, we announced its general availability as Azure Bot Service. And in the last 6 months, Azure Bot Service has achieved enterprise compliance, including having successfully completed audit for ISO, PCI, HIPAA, and most recently, SOC 1 and 2. So this week at the Build Conference, we have announced major updates for Microsoft Conversational AI tools. So a lot of you probably have seen the different sessions throughout the build. You can also read more details in this particular blog on the Azure website. We're very excited for the great momentum for conversational AI. We have over 1,000 companies across the world botifying their business with Azure Bot Service. And you can find a lot of the detailed customer case studies in the customers.microsoft.com. Let me show you a few examples just to see how bots are used in what scenario. So the first one I'm going to show you is the Who bot in Microsoft Teams. So in Microsoft Teams, you can go to the App Store, and there's a bots category, and then you will see a lot of bots here. One of them that I use a lot is this Who bot. So let's take a look. So the Who bot is integrated with Active Directory, Microsoft Graph, Exchange. So it can help you to really navigate, and this is a very typical employee productivity scenario. It's easy to use, so in the text box, you can actually see the list of sample queries that you can do with it. And it doesn't just only do the simple who is this person. It also does some interesting queries, such as who knows about this particular topic, for example, who knows about bot customers. And one of the common scenarios a lot of people do is like, you know, who was in a particular meeting with. So you can easily use this and say, who was in the meeting about Build Boost? And it will search your calendar and then get that information very fast for you. So the second one that I'm going to show you is called EVA, which stands for Executive Virtual Assistant. So this is a bot that we use in the Microsoft Executive Briefing Center. So that's where we host a lot of VIP customers across the world when they come to Microsoft headquarters or other different places. This particular one is the one used in Redmond. So you can see the different scenarios this can help. When the visitors come to the center, it can help navigate the directions, or it can actually help you to get information about the particular meeting or briefing you are in. It also very adapts to the user context. It can do multi-language. So I can ask question to tell me a story about Microsoft in Chinese. 告诉我一个微软的小故事. Let's see what it will tell me. So it says actually one of the traditions at Microsoft is that we provide free beverages. And every year there are over 23 million drinks, and the most popular one are chocolate milk and orange juice. So you get the idea. It will actually help you get some interesting facts about Microsoft when the people are visiting. And the third example I'm going to show you is Flow for Progressive. So Progressive is one of the major insurance providers in the United States. So in order for them to take advantage of the increasing use of the mobile channel to interact with the brand, they wanted to build a chatbot. So they worked with our Microsoft service team and then take this actually to the Microsoft, to Facebook Messenger. So let's have a conversation with Flo. So one of the things about Progressive is they're really well known for this iconic spokesperson, Flo, who is funny, insightful, and also friendly. So they also wanted the same consistency, personality to show up in their chatbot. So you can see that when you actually get greeted by Flo, it will actually already in the conversation showing you some of that personality. Flo can do a few things. It can answer common insurance questions, can also help you get quotes. So that's a typical task completion scenario. So if you, let's ask her, who are you? Let's see what she will say. So she says she's actually a unicorn-loving, taco-eating number one insurance fan. So you can already see that it also uses a little bit of emoji. So that's kind of the how personality is really showing up in the chatbot. So let's summarize the few examples. What do you think makes a great bot? Is it how much AI services it uses? Is it whether it actually uses button or cards? Is it whether it actually uses voice or not? Great bots are very similar to great website or great apps. One thing that they have to do, one thing very in common, is that they have to provide a delightful user experience. So let's break that down. So it has to provide valuable experience. So that actually addresses a particular user need and solve a problem effectively. So in the Who bot, so you see that how it's actually addressing the employee productivity scenario. In the Eva bot, that's really addressing the user need when they're actually visiting the Microsoft Executive Briefing Center. In the Flow bot, it's really addressing the insurance needs. A gray bot has to be accessible. What do I mean by that? It's really adaptive to the context, to the user, to the environment. And also, it's easy for the user to naturally know how they can use the bot. And a great bot has to be effective. That's actually better, easier, and faster than the other alternative experience. Otherwise, why should people choose a bot? So Azure Bot Service provides the most comprehensive experience for creating the conversational apps. A typical bot development workflow, including planning, building, testing, publishing, connecting, and evaluation. In today's session, we're going to focus the best practice, especially in the planning stage, build and testing stage, and evaluation. So let's get started at the planning phase. So we talked about a great bot will provide great user experience. Then what makes that experience? So in the last 2 years, we see a lot of developers building bots, a lot of users using bots. One of the common mismatch we see is what the developer think the users expect and what the user actually expects. So it's very important when you're starting planning for a bot to think from the user's perspective. So the communication between a bot and a user, what user would expect from the bot is what I say would be understood. What I receive as a response is appropriate. And what I get as a service is delightful. And if I leave and when I come back, that context is carried forward. So where I left off is really remembered. So then how to design such an experience? So there are five best practices that we want to talk about in the planning stage. Number one, form a multidisciplinary team. Number two, understand your users in order to identify the bot use cases. Number three, create bot measurement plan. Number four, define bot persona. And number five, design the conversation flow. After those, when you define the experience right, then you can build that experience in parts and start simple and layer in sophistication. We're going to show you how. So bots are no different like apps or websites. That having a diverse team is very important. And this is not saying, you know, everybody development has to have this exact same team. The point is actually really having the diverse team. Take an example of the Flow chatbot in that particular development. So this was the proof of concept was built by our Microsoft Service team for Progressive. And in that 5-week engagement, they had two full-time developers, one full-time designers, and one part-time data insight consultant, and one part-time PM. So after you form the diverse team, where do you start? So we really recommend that you think about to take a design-led approach to start understanding the target user in order to identify the bot use cases. So who are they? What are the different range for your users? And what are their objectives, challenges, needs, and expectations? And then where are the potential use cases that the bot will add great value? So this is a tool that we use in some of the bot design workshop. So this helps you to quickly identify the full range of users, and then what are their situations, settings, and environments, and then what are their tasks. Then after you kind of identify this, then you can prioritize which one of them the bot makes most sense. And also, if you really do this in a design workshop, it's really recommended that you have co-create this with a diverse set of stakeholders, like across all your organizations. Like if you're building a customer support bot, not just only including the customer support team, you really want to get other teams, like including even operation, IT, marketing, or even legal, to make sure that you have that diverse understanding of your user. And it's also important to really spend time with your actual user. So if it's call center, spend time in the call center, listen to the calls. That will really help you to build the true empathy of the user to make sure that you really know what questions they're asking, how they're asking, and also what tasks that they really need help with. So after you really identify those use cases, then it's a good idea to start defining the measurement plan. So the importance of having the measurement plan in the planning phase is that you shouldn't think of analytics as an afterthought. Because that is a common thing that a lot of times, just like app development, like you develop something and then later on, oh, I should measure it. If you're doing this at the planning stage, then you can really help to know this is the use case and this is the success metrics. Then after that, the very important piece about bot is define the bot persona. So any bot is really representing your brand, your product, your services. So if actually some companies spend a lot of time to train their customer-facing staff to make sure they know how to talk to a customer, right? You know, what to say, what not to say, and if things go wrong, how to act, then the same thing really need to apply to the bot. You need to really think about how would your bot represent your brand, your product and services. And what I'm saying here is not just for external facing bot, because even for internal employee facing, right? Let's take an example as HR bot, that will represent your team service, the HR service. So it's also important to think, how did you design that personality? How did you design that persona to set the right user expectation? And then there are a few aspects of this. So how does a bot look? In the bot's case, it's really the bot icon. That's usually the first time that your user will be able to see it, right? Whether it's a company logo that's setting a professional tone, or whether it's actually the same, consistent with their iconic spokesperson in the Flow case, right? And what's the name? The name is how users are going to find your bot. And also, they may call your bot in that name, right? So again, what's the expectation you want to set? And how does it sound? Because bot, unlike the other website or app experiences, it doesn't have a lot of visual elements for you to play with. So it's all through the conversation. So in order to really design that tone of voice right, it's very important. And then how does the bot respond in different situations? For example, like, you know, no matter how sophisticated, how smart your bot is, there would be questions that the bot won't be able to answer. There will be tasks that the bot won't be able to complete. Then what would you do in that scenario? Would you hand over to a real person, or would you find some other ways to help the bot? So after you kind of design that kind of bot persona, get the personality right, then the last stage of the planning phase, it's important to think about how do you design your conversational flow. There's two important aspects I want to talk about here. One is the user interaction modality, and then the other is dialogue. And depending on the scenario, you should choose the appropriate one. So in this particular picture, it shows the increased complexity to the right. It doesn't mean like for every scenario, you have to get the most complex one. So the more complex, the more effort you should spend in the implementation to make sure that you can really design that experience well. But it's really picking the right one that's important. So for the user interaction, right, like there's many different types of that. It can be text, can be cards or buttons, can be speech, can be custom can be custom app, custom website, or even custom device, or a combination of those kind of different user modality. So depending on the different scenario, how do you pick the right modality, right? Is the user already in the messenger app, like Facebook app, so users are already very familiar with that typing experience? Or is the user in the tablet or mobile form factor? So in that scenario, they're already very familiar with navigating their way, getting their tasks done by clicking and tapping, right? And also, a picture really is worth a thousand words. So in certain scenario, you really want to communicate in that way. And also another scenario is like you want to limit the different choices, right? Like when you say, welcome, how can I help you? You want to actually give a few choices to set the right expectation, what you can do. So in those scenario, it really makes sense. So then why is it appropriate to use voice? It's very, some common scenarios like when the user is in a hands-off scenario, or the bot is integrated with a device that has limited or no display surface, then it's very suitable for that. So the takeaway is that you need to depend on the scenario. And also, it's not saying a bot have all the scenario the same. A bot should actually support a combination of those depending on the particular term in that conversation. The other important aspect is about the dialogue. So there are different types of dialogue, and this is the common types. Very obvious one is the one-turn response. That's kind of the question and answer pair. But that can also sometimes kind of be the one-turn chit-chat, like you say something and the bot responds something. But in that particular case, neither the user nor the bot would actually have any follow-up questions. So that's kind of what we mean by one-turn response. And the second type, it's really about more for task completion, right? So have the guided assistant dialogue. So in that scenario, the bot requires collecting a bunch of missing information in order to get a task done. So to do that, then that's how kind of you design this kind of guided assistant experience. And also, it's typically in that scenario, it's multi-turn, but it also depends. If the user already giving all the information in the same term, then you don't have to do that. So the common scenario will be ticket booking, product purchase, or form filling. And then the third one, that actually could be one-term response or actually guided system, but it's more that it's actually adding the context. It could be the context of the user, context of the previous term, or context of the environment. Then after you kind of choosing the right modality and then the right dialogue, then you design that conversation flow. So there's actually multiple outputs that you can have. It depends on the scenario that you want and depending on how your team likes to. So one of the common output that we see is a kind of like, you know, they, in the design workshop, they will start storyboarding this on the whiteboard. Or some will actually turn this into a Visio and do a wireframe on that. Or it could be actually using the chatdown file that Vishwak will demo later that we support. So now you've kind of, I walked through the five steps of planning. So after you kind of design that, now I'm going to welcome Vishwak on the stage and then talk about the best practice in building and testing.
Thanks, Elaine. All right, so I want to talk to you guys about best practices that we have been able to distill for building and testing your bot. And let me make sure I'm logged in here, so we are set up. And Elaine was talking about starting simple and layering in sophistication. When you think about building your bot itself needs to stitch together a bunch of different bot parts. Bot parts include language understanding, Q&A, dialogue, language generation, cognitive services like vision, speech, knowledge, and more. Cognitive services help have your bot a more meaningful and more human-like conversation with your users. But where do you start? It's all in a spectrum. So if you look at user interaction and dialogue, Elaine touched on that quite a bit. But talking about language understanding and language generation, even those are a spectrum. You can always start with the most simple thing for your scenario and then layer in the sophistication as is needed. And quite often what we see that developers are using as a yardstick is the feedback loop or the telemetry to tell them, okay, my user is expecting this particular thing to behave this way, and what do I now need to go do to make that happen? And then evolve in and add that sophistication. So three key takeaways or three key best practices that we have been able to distill for building and testing bots. Start simple and layer in sophistication based on your scenario needs. Build your bot in parts, because if you start by, you know, all the AI services out there, then you can get pretty sophisticated very quickly, but you need to absolutely nail the core conversation model, and all of the AI services can come in and augment that experience and make that better and complete and provide a rich experience for the user. All right, so for the rest of my talk, I'm gonna take you through a journey of building a Contoso Cafe bot. It's a cafe bot for a fictitious Contoso Cafe company that's based out of Pacific Northwest. And let's actually go through the journey of them doing a little bit of planning all the way through to building something that stitches a bunch of AI services together and what that journey looks like. And I'm also gonna be using the, you know, several of the new features that we have announced today at, not today, this week at Build. I'm sure you might have seen a lot about the cognitive services that are coming up as well. I'll touch on a few. And there is an entire spectrum on the other end for sophistication, but the core of the demo is going to focus on starting simple and then layering in sophistication. So let's jump into the demo. All right, so Elaine was talking about this, and bots are no different than apps and websites. So for planning, one of the typical things that you would want to do is to create mockups of conversations between the bot and the user. So here in VS Code, I have a mockup of a greeting scenario. And here's one for Q&A. And question answer and having knowledge is another very critical thing that every bot should have. Here's one for who are you, because a lot of users might say, who are you or what's your name? And here's one for booking a table. This one is a little bit more sophisticated and it involves multiple turns because the bot needs a bunch of information to go complete the task. And as you can see, these are simple text files. So you can use any text editor you prefer. And the chat files also support rich attachments like cards and images. So in this case, I have an adaptive card that I'm including. And all of this can be part of your initial planning and iterative design process. Once I have the chat files, then with a simple command line tool, I can convert them into a conversation transcript and view them in the emulator. For sake of time, I'm not going to go convert each one of them into transcripts. And in the new, brand new bot framework V4 emulator, I've got them all loaded. An emulator renders these transcripts using the web chat control. This is the exact same web chat control that you can also embed within your own application or website. So here's the greeting transcript we did, and here's one for Q&A. Here's who are you, and here's the one to book a table. While you're in planning and you're sort of looking at all of these design ideas through the team, with the team, you want to be able to iterate quickly. Sometimes it's easier if it's, you know, very clean and you can focus on the actual conversation. So we have a presentation mode and emulator that helps you do that. Okay, now imagine that you know, your design, product management, and leadership team are happy with the plan and you're just about going to go build out these four scenarios. So the rest of the demo is going to be focused on that specific journey. A good starting point for your bot is to be able to is to start thinking about language understanding and Q&A maker or question and answer part capabilities. So again, in VS Code, I have simple markdown-based language understanding files that describe language understanding for the four different scenarios that we had identified during planning. So here's one for greeting, Here's one for Q&A, and these also actually render as Markdown. And here's one for who are you? And here's one for booking a table. And this one even includes entity definitions. Once I have done that, Markdown files are great for authoring and collaboration, but services typically prefer JSON file formats. So with a simple command line tool, I can convert all of the language understanding files into Q&A Maker and Lewis JSON models, and that's exactly what I've got done here. Okay, as Elaine was saying, dialogue, you know, in the spectrum for dialogue, starting with, you know, simple singleton conversations going through to guided assistance through to context carryover type conversations is sort of the right way to think about in terms of spectrum of complexity. So we're going to start with building out a simple question and answer scenario for the bot. And QAMaker.ai is an excellent service for you to check out and where you can point to your existing FAQ URLs, and we'll be able to consume that and then be able to provide a knowledge base of question and answer pairs that are automatically generated for you based on that. And Q&A Maker is generally available now, and we also announced that now you can actually point it to PDFs, and that might have ginormous amount of information in it, and we can still crawl through that and come up with a seed of question and answer pairs that's based on that document that you pointed us to. So let's take a look at getting set up with Q&A Maker. Another thing that we've done this build is we have brought the full power of Lewis.ai and QAMaker.ai to the command line, so you can actually adapt these tools to fit your own end-to-end development workflow. So in this case, I'm just showing that using the simple command line tool, I can take the output of the previous tool and then pass it in to create my initial bootstrap model for Q&A Maker. The other thing that we have also spent time on and we have heard as active feedback is as you're building a bot and then as you keep adding in services, it gets increasingly complex and it gets really hard for you to keep track of all the services that your bot depend on. So the new CLI tools as well as emulator make it super easy for you to keep track of all the service references. So if you look at the second half of this command, I'm taking the output of the create step and passing it to another command line tool called MSBot that can keep track of all of these service references in a simple bot JSON file. All right, for sake of time, I'm not going to actually go create a Q&A Maker model here. I've done that already. And let's see what the code looks like to hook it up. But before I do that, I want to spend time on two things. One is the basic code structure here. Every single message to the bot is an activity, and there are different types of activities. And every single great bot out there does respond to a welcome message. That's a message that gets sent out to the user the first time ever the user either adds the bot to their context or they start talking to the bot. This is super critical when it comes to conversational interfaces because unlike apps and websites where you can have buttons and UI that explain to the user what is it that your app or website can do, this is the only way that the user is actually going to know what is it that this bot can do. So in this case, the cafe bot is coming back and saying, okay, I can help you find cafe locations, I can answer some questions about Contoso Cafe, and also book a table. The second thing as a best practice I want to touch before we add Q&A Maker is as your bot scenarios get sophisticated and complex, there could be cases where users, end users, actually feel stuck. Like they're like, okay, I actually want to stop booking the table. Like give me an escape hatch. And so planning for that, even before you write any code or integrate with any services, is super critical. And as you add more and more dialogues, you need to make sure that you constantly update the escape hatch and make sure the user is super aware and clear of how they can reset the conversation, how they can start over, or how can they cancel out of what's going on right now. So what we call as global flow control commands, and make sure that you're planning and thinking about that throughout your development phase. So I've already got that code in here. The other thing that I'm also going to do here is uncomment this code. And what this does, and by the way, all of this code is built on top of our brand new bot builder V4 SDK, and it's available in GitHub as a preview, so please do go check it out. So here, I'm simply making a call out to the Q&A Maker service, and if I have an answer, I come back and render that answer. If I don't, then the bot is going to say, sorry, I don't have any results for you. Let's try and talk to this bot in the emulator. Let's restart. All right, so as soon as I open my bot in the new emulator, I can see, as I was telling you, the list of all the service references. So in this case, I've added a Q&A maker model, so I can see a reference to that right here, and I can deep link into my Q&A maker model from right here within the emulator. Let's try and talk to this bot. Some of the questions that we had was, who's your CEO? This was one of the question and answer pairs that we had identified during planning. It comes back with an answer powered by Q&A maker. What are your locations was another question we had. It comes back and works. So it's very quick for you to go from almost nothing to a bot with knowledge using the power of Q&A maker, and it's super easy for you to get hooked up in your code as well. All right, next up. Elaine was talking about adding cards in the user interaction spectrum. So the first thing was text, so we just saw that. And the next one I want to talk about is adding cards. So we announced adaptive cards last year at Build, and we're seeing a lot of momentum behind this. This is a way by which you can add very rich interactive pieces of cards within the bot conversation. It helps quite a bit depending on where your users are, if they are on a particular device or form factor where they're only used to clicking and typing around, or clicking and tapping around, then cards are very effective. Cards are also very effective to help orient and get a lot of information in one small interaction. So we're seeing a lot of momentum with adaptive cards, and we also have a bunch of samples on adaptivecards.io. Do check them out, and hopefully you'll be able to use them in your next bot. Let's see how to add cards to this exact same bot. Nothing else has changed in the code. The only real thing I'm doing here is to be able to start sending a card with the welcome message. The other thing while we are here I want to do is to set up the top-level dispatch. So until now, the only thing that the bot did was respond to Q&A maker questions. And if you didn't have a Q&A maker answer, then it was going to say, sorry, I don't know. But we do want the bot to respond back to greeting. We do want it to be able to book a table. And we do want to be able to respond to who are you. So I'm just getting set up with the top-level dispatch. And in most of those, or all of those cases, the bot is simply going to come back and say, I don't know that, or I'm still learning that. This is just to give you guys a sense of what's going on as we are building this bot. Let's go ahead and run this one. All right, let's try this bot out. So right off the bat, not just there was a welcome message, but there is also a card now. And I can click on the buttons to jump into a specific scenario. And in this case, it's actually going to say, I'm still learning how to do that. And who are you? It's just coming back and saying, I'm the cafe bot. So if I literally typed in hi, these were literal hard-coded strings. So it's not going to respond to anything more than that. If I say hello, then it's not going to work. So it said, sorry, I don't understand. But it's a good starting point for you to think about your outer layer of here are the five things that my bot should do in terms of scenarios and get that set up. All right, next up in the spectrum of complexity. Let's go ahead and take a look at how to do multi-turn conversations. And these are the guided conversations that Elaine was talking about in the spectrum for dialogue. So here for who are you and book a table, I'm no longer saying I'm learning that because the bot has now acquired that skill. So for each of these, I'm going to model them as a waterfall dialogue. And there are multiple different ways to model conversations, waterfall being one of them. You might have heard of form flow as being another one. And so you can pick and choose whichever one that you want and that works for you the best. But in this case, I have decided to go with waterfall. So if you look at the actual dialogue for who are you, it's literally a waterfall. Go execute the first step, that is, if the user says, who are you, then we're going to use the text prompt and say, hi, I'm the Contoso Cafe bot, and ask the user for their name. Whatever the user replies back, it's a text prompt, so it's going to take every single thing that the user replies back. There is not going to be any more layer of understanding on top. And we will just take that as the user's name and come back and greet them and then say, nice to meet you. So that's all pretty much the who are you dialogue does right now. And here's another one for book a table. This is a little bit more sophisticated than the other one because we are trying to get four pieces of information. So we need to know a location, we need to know a date, a time, and a party size, number of guests, before we can go book the table. So if the user says book a table, then the bot is going through as a waterfall asking for each of those pieces of information because before it can go book the table. So it's asking for city first, then date, then time, number of guests, and then it's confirming to see if it should go book the table. And then you call into your backend service, book the table, and then you can come back and say, OK, I've booked the table, or something went wrong. Try again later. So pretty much that's all we have. So, but we have gone from a single turn to now also being able to support a multi-turn back and forth conversation. Let's try and talk to this bot. But make sure this is running. Here it is. So now it's going through the waterfall. So it's asking for city. Say Seattle. Tomorrow, say 7 p.m. I'm going to bring two guests. And then now it's at the confirmation step, asking to confirm everything. Everything looks good, and it booked the table. The other scenario we did was, who are you? So if I say, who are you, then it's asking me for my name. I type in my name. It picked that up. It was a simple text prompt, and we are good. So we have actually got the core of the conversation model figured out, and then now we can start layering additional sophistication on top. So let me show you two typical sophistications that are best practices for people to take back and think about adding to your bot. So the first one is in the new Bot Builder SDK, we have a very rich variety of prompts, because as you saw the previous demo, you might have been thinking, wow, like, you know, you're using a text prompt to get date and time and a city, but I want to be able to set constraints. Like, I don't want my user to pick a date in the past, and my cafe is only open between this time window. And so the prompt system in the Bot Builder V4 SDK allows you to do that and be able to elegantly model all of that. So all that I've done here is I've added a choice prompt, a number prompt, a timex prompt, and a confirmation prompt. The choice prompt is what I want to use when I'm asking the user for a city. So instead of using a text prompt, I've swapped it to be a choice prompt. And still the message that we're using to ask the user is exactly the same. And then for booking, for asking for date and time, I'm using a slightly more sophisticated timex prompt that allows me to set a bunch of constraints, and it can actually understand date and time and parse it and actually give me a result only if it matches my constraints. And I'll show you that code in a little bit. And then for asking the number of guests, we are using a number prompt. And then we are using a confirmation prompt to confirm. And then we are done. The last one is after we have booked the table successfully, we can come back with a message saying it's done. Let's go ahead and try this and see this in action. Off the bat, because we had a choice prompt, and we actually did specify the constraints, and I didn't show you guys where I specified the constraints. So here are the constraints for the choice prompt. So we were even able to automatically generate a list of suggested actions at the bottom that the user can click on and go. And I could do interesting things like I could say one, and that did pick up Seattle. It was the first option that was presented. And our escape hatch continues to work. So even though I'm in the middle of the dialogue, I can say start over. And let's try another scenario there. And I could say, how about Bellevue? It picked up Bellevue, so there is a little bit of, you know, language understanding matching going on as well. Let's start over again. Let's say book a table. And then I could say, how about the third one? And I'm literally typing in the word third. I picked up Renton. So a bunch of these natural language-based interactions to be able to parse what the user is saying when, as it relates to a specific prompt, and as well as being able to set a constraint for a choice prompt is what you saw. Now let's take a look at the date time prompt, because that's the next thing it's asking. So if I said, how about in 3 weeks from now? Too bad. The bot only accepts invitations for the next 2 weeks, and it only does 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Where's that coming from? So in my code, I have this timex validator, which is basically applying a bunch of constraints on the timex prompt itself. So here I'm saying, OK, the user needs to give me a date and time that has to be either this week or next week, and it has to be in the evening. And the definition of evening is from 4 to 8 p.m. And that kicked in, and that's why the bot is like, OK, that doesn't work. So let's try something else. So let's say I'm going to say Saturday at 7 p.m. Notice what happened there. Now the bot says, OK, I have this Saturday, 7 p.m., instead of next Saturday or the Saturday after or the previous Saturday. So we've also added a little bit of language generation capability for you to deal with timex or date and time operations, so that you can, the bot can actually come back and confirm, yeah, I actually have this Saturday. If you want to change your mind, actually say that right now. And this is actually a good practice for the bot to be able to do, is to ground and validate and say what is it that it has understood after every single turn of the conversation. Of course, you don't have to include everything that happened before that conversation. It's just immediate validation saying, okay, I said Tuesday, you got Tuesday. I said 4 p.m., you picked up 4 p.m. I was just asking me how many people in the party. Just as with the other choice prompt, we're using a number prompt, so I could literally type in 5 instead of the number 5, and it picked that up. It picked up 5 guests at Renton location for this Saturday at 7 p.m. I'd say yes, and we're good to go. So we haven't added any language understanding capability outside of what is natively available in the prompt system up until now. But still, you have gotten a little bit more sophisticated in terms of conversation. And the last thing I want to show in terms of a demo is Lewis.ai. So until now, to trigger into a specific scenario, you literally had a hard-coded message. So it was hi, if the user only said hi, that was going to trigger. But users could say a bunch of different things that you might want to trigger into that specific scenario. So the user could say hello or good morning, good afternoon. And there are numerous variations for a user to be able to book a table. So they could say, get me a table. Can you please book a table for 5 guests? So on and so forth. Lewis is a fantastic service for you to be able to provide a list of example utterances. And Lewis can build a machine learn model that not only does intent classification, so given a user utterance, it can determine this is what the user is trying to do, but it can also extract meaningful pieces of information called entities, which in this case is, you know, what's the date and time, what's the location, and so on and so forth. So let's see, let's take a look at how to now hook up language understanding powered by Lewis for this bot. So a while ago, I showed you a markdown file for each of our scenario that was a language understanding for greeting and Q&A and who are you and book a table. And we used a tool to generate a Lewis JSON model. And so I'm just simply rerunning that tool to bring that back in memory for you. And we've also got another tool called LewisGen. What this does is it can actually take a Lewis JSON model and generate a strongly typed C# or a TypeScript class. And this is super beneficial because off the bat, let me just do this first and then show you what that looked like. For every single intent and entity that your bot had, now you can call them. You have a nice enum of all the intents, that's right here. And then every single entity is also strong type, and so your code is going to look a lot more cleaner, and then you're not directly dealing with the results from Lewis. You get a nice little abstraction there. The third thing that I want to show here, and we're not going to actually run the command, but as I was saying, we're bringing the full power of Lewis to the command line as well. So using Lewis import application, I can create a new application, import the JSON model that I have created, and just as we did in the Q&A maker case, I want to be able to pipe that to MSBot so that now I can add that as a new service reference for my bot. I've got the Lewis model set up, back to the Cafe bot code. The real change that I have done here is two pieces of changes, actually. I created a Lewis recognizer, and then this is my new LewisGen C# strong type class, and I switched out all of my case hard-coded statements with a specific Lewis intent. So this is a greeting intent, this is book a table, who are you, and for non-intent, we're going to fall back and ask if Q&A maker has an answer or not. Let's try and talk to this bot. I think this is already running. Yep, it is. And as you can see, when I connect to the bot, I now see the Lewis service reference in emulator as well. So instead of now being a really hard-coded set of things, I can say a bunch of variations. Let me pull up my notes here. Okay. So can you please book a table? That triggered. Let's start over. Get me a table. You no longer have to exactly say book table. That worked. Start over. The rest of the prompt is all unchanged. You're still using all of the exact same prompts that we had. So what's your name? You no longer have to say who are you. That worked. And all of this is getting triggered because we added Lewis and it was able to do the intent arbitration very well. Start over. And last thing, who's your CEO? This is again from Q&A Maker. And that continues to work. So hopefully that gave you a sense for a bunch of new tools that we have announced at Build. And you know, as we start very simple and then layer in sophistication at each stage, the kind of experience that the bot can provide also grows. But one of the few things that we did at the core was include welcome message, make sure that the user can restart or start over the conversation and handle like global flow control commands, and then do the single one-turn conversation with Q&A maker. And then as you're thinking about multi-turn dialogue, make sure that you're starting simple, nail the core conversation model, and then you can layer in you know, AI services to augment that core experience. Back to slides. I think we just have a summary. Yep, covered all of that. So start simple, progressively layer in sophistication, and build your bot in parts, and nail the core conversational model before, and add the AI services to augment the core conversation model. Back to you, Elaine. Thank you.
Wasn't that cool? So now, after you build and test the bot, and then publish it, and then connect to the different channels, let's talk about the best practice in the evaluate phase. Because conversational experience really provides a unique experience. It actually tells you from the user conversation what the user are looking for. So there's really three best practices I want to talk about. Number one, iterate with the feedback and really get it out soon. Don't just really wait till you have like all the different functionality. You can really get a limited functionality, but get to the user. Because the user will tell you what question they are asking, how they're asking, what tasks they want to get help with. And no matter how you anticipate, you won't be able to get all of those, right? Like your user can even say different languages. You wouldn't be able to know. So get it out and then start refining as fast as you can. And also start simple. That's the same principle even Vishwa talked about. That also applies in the evaluation phase. We have the out-of-box tools for Azure service and also language understand service. At least start using that and then get it out. And then if you need custom solution, then that's the second point that I can talk about. You can get there, but you don't have to wait till you have all the sophisticated analytics to start evaluate. Number two, focus on business KPI and leverage the custom dashboards. So remember in the planning phase, we talked about at the planning, you already should actually define your success metrics. So then back in the evaluation phase, you should really review that and also look at your instrumentation to see whether they actually get the metrics measured correctly the way that you expected. And here is where we see a lot of custom dashboards that actually helps. Because we have the logs in Application Insights, a common one that we see is integration with Power BI. And now we have the Bot Builder SDK V4 that's extensible and modular. So we expect to see a range of the analytics middleware that will be contributed by the community. So if you actually have any analytics middleware that you want to contribute, please join that party as well. So number three, build evaluation into the process and gain business insights from the bot. What I mean is here, it's really not how sophisticated your analytics tool. It's really important that even if you use simple tool, build that into your process. Because bot provides the unique opportunity that I tell you that it's not just helping to refine your bot, it actually helps your overall service. Because the user may tell you some product or services that you haven't provided, right? So you may tell you actually the certain parts of your business that needs improvement. So it's way beyond the bots that we start seeing as a common pattern that business really use bot analytics as a way to gain business insights. And in the customer case studies online, you can take a look at Dixon Carphone and Telefonica. They both talked about that, of how they actually gain the business insights from the bot. So this is just kind of the screenshot of the Louis tool for the reviewed endpoint utterance. So what I'm saying is, like, you know, you really can start using that. If you really constantly improving your utterance, it's, even with the very simple, you can start simple and already help you get to your bot constantly better. And then you can also add phrase lists or patterns to improve your Louis model that way as well. And here are a few kind of sample examples that are for the bot analytics that in the custom dashboard that we see. If you use Lewis, of course, the very common one is getting the Lewis metrics, the intent metrics. So you can see that's the one that tells you what are the common questions people are asking. And it's important to really take a look at the non-intent, because that's where you can see where are not meeting the user needs, right? And then there's also the view at the right on top. That's kind of like also a key phrase view that we have seen a lot of customers using as well. And another common one is sentiment analysis, because this can give you a good user satisfaction indication, right? So if you, this is a common case when you do the integration with the text analytics, and then you can get this view and also see the trend view about where does the user satisfaction, the sentiment drops, and then have a way to basically drill down to see what's the issue. And then the other metrics here, it's really more scenario specific. We talked about you identify the user case and then see what are the business impact the bot can really contribute. Then that's where, if for example, like a customer support bot, a common metrics people measure is handover, right? How much of the percentage is your goal to be able to cover the common questions, and what are the complex issue that you want to hand over to an agent? And in that case, we see that people also look at what are the issues that actually are the common case being handover. Then you focus on that to see whether you can refine that to let the bot take care of a little bit more. So next, I'm going to show you a demo of a Contoso assistant. So you've seen in the previous demo from Vishwak that Azure Bot Service really allow you to store simple. But I also want to show you that we can also support the sophistication solution as well. So in this particular case, it's an intelligent personal assistant. It can be in all different environment, but in this particular one, I'm showing you an in-car assistant. So let me get it set up. Okay, so this is a simulation of the in-car assistant. So on the left and right, those are simulate the different signals you can get from the car. So in the actual UI, it won't be like this, and it will probably have very limited screenplays to show. But this is really a more elaborated UI to show you how this simulates that assistant. So in the car, if you are actually driving in the car, it's kind of hand off, right? So that's where we see in those scenarios, voice will be a good help in that modality. So let's try. So imagine that I'm driving along, and I wanted to really save the preference of the heating right now. Remember my seating preferences.
Sure thing. I'll remember your seat heating preferences for days like this. I have gathered these settings for seat heat level 0. I'm going to name it seat heating level 0. Would you like a different name?
No, that's okay.
Okay, all done.
Note that normally no means no and it's okay means yes. But this is how we train to understand okay, that's no, that's okay means no. So this is how our language understanding comes in. So imagine that I'm driving along, suddenly there's a yellow light comes up, and I want to find out what's that. What is the yellow light in my dash?
If the tire pressure monitor lamp comes on in yellow, then the tire pressure is off about 10% or more.
So just shows a card to display that information. What if I'm actually really frustrated and in my input, in my voice, the particular word will show being detected in the sentiment analysis is kind of negative. What the heck is that yellow light in the dash?
Sorry to hear that. If the tire pressure monitor lamp comes on in yellow, then the tire pressure is off about 10% or more.
So you
can also help you troubleshoot or connect you to an agent.
So you can see that this is how you can generate the conditional response, right? Based on the different result in your text analytics and sentiment analysis, then you decide a different response. And in this case, you may want to actually hand to a dealer. The other scenario I want to show you is actually how it really helps a productivity scenario. So let's say that I'm driving, that I suddenly have an idea that I want to capture a note. Can you take a note?
Of course. I am ready to capture your memo now. Press the record button to start recording. Once you are done recording, I will save the note.
So this is a simulation that I will click the record button, but imagine in the car that you will be able to actually trigger that, right? Follow up on the build session.
I got your note. Please wait while I save it.
So then it's actually processing this. And then actually, then I will be able to show you later that it will actually add the note in my OneNote.
Done. Your memo can be found in the Memos tab in your OneNote.
Okay, so let's see. So you can even see that the text is extracted from the audio. So this is how the integration of Office 365 can really be a powerful scenario, and it can all be done by the car assistant that built using our AlgebraBot service tools. So this is how a sophisticated scenario that can really be achieved using our most comprehensive tools. So in this example, it really goes all the way to the most complex. So to summarize the best practice of the building bots in this session, we really talked about that in the planning phase, you should focus on designing an experience, not just functionality. In the build and test phase, building parts and start simple and then layer in the sophistication and learn from the feedback and iterate and evaluate and refine. So here are the three breakout sessions about conversational AI that we showed at Build. And this is the list of Channel 9 video that you can also see later to know more about the tools we have. So at the end, I'd like to conclude with a customer testimonial from Telefonica.
We have become data-driven.
Okay, Aura.
Our conversational AI, Aura, lets us put people first.
We are using artificial intelligence to change the way we are relating to customers. One of the reasons we begin to use Microsoft technologies was because it offered an open framework.
It was very easy for all my development team to understand the tools.
We can very fast and very easy move into the use cases we want to develop for our customers.
Using tools like Azure Bot Service and Luis, we keep getting new insights and we are applying them into our core business. Microsoft AI was a key piece in our strategy because they have the tools, the platform, the full ecosystem that we needed.
With that, thank you. I would be happy to take questions. We also have our team here, so if you want to just stay here and then come here, then we can also answer questions here as well.
Hey. So just a question on the dialogue you were building in the demo, the kind of table booking workflow. You were kind of going kind of very deliberately step-by-step through that. But can you maybe show, like, what exists in the tooling today if you have something where, you know, you're going to get three pieces of information at once? So if I said, you know, book a table in Seattle at 2 p.m.,
yep.
You know, I might not know the date, but... Yep. I've got a couple of pieces of information there, so yep. you're kind of extracting two out of three entities and then yep. conditionally prompting for the rest of that.
Yep. So the native prompt system that we have can only handle one entity at a time because it's layered at that level of sophistication.
Okay.
For handling cases where you get multiple pieces of information in one utterance, which is really what you're trying to yep. do, a good recommendation is for you to have one intent in Lewis, hopefully in a separate Lewis app, because Lewis is really good with capturing multiple entities in any given utterance, and it can come back with that value.
Right.
And then all that you would do in your dialogue step, waterfall step, is to see, did you get any new values, and then be able to rehydrate that.
Hmm. OK. Okay, so are there plans to kind of start trying to address that in the dialogue model you've got?
Yeah. Okay. Yep, doesn't exist right now. We're working on it. But for now, you should still be unblocked.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yep, thank you.
I was wondering what you have for existing voice models so that you can talk to the bot and come back, and what the roadmap is for future things like Alexa, Google, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, sure. So for voice, a couple of things, right? So you can already build a bot and publish to Cortana. Cortana is a channel, and anything that you do there is also going to be supported through speech. But we are also we have actually already made the web chat control that you can embed within your own website or application. That supports speech, and so you can either use browser speech, or you can use cognitive service speech, or you can even implement a custom speech recognizer and hook that up for your scenario. The third piece of work that we've also accomplished is when you go build a Lewis model, then we take all those utterances and then prime the speech recognition system with those utterances so that the speech recognition accuracy is improved as well. So, you know, setting up the stage again, starting simple and layering sophistication, there is that path that is already laid for you to be able to take that journey. And the second question I thought you asked were about Alexa and Google Home integrations. We don't have anything to announce at the moment, but, you know, stay tuned to our blogs. It's an area that we are actively looking into though. Thank you, great question.
Hi, you showed a dashboard part of the presentation. Mm-hmm. Is this the one you have built it, or is this part of the Lewis? It will be generated.
Which one? Is that
the sentiment analysis performance?
I think she's talking about the custom dashboard.
The power.
Yeah, the business. This one?
Yeah, this one.
Yeah, this is just examples of the Power BI dashboard.
Okay.
It's not out of the box one yet.
Yeah, it looks very similar to ours actually.
So you can publish those actually as the middleware for our SDK before.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, maybe.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, yeah.
I got a couple questions. One is, if you have multiple bots, is there a way to switch context and reference another bot to have it run its scripts and then return back to the context that you were originally at? That's
so you're trying to do multiple bots that are still talking
to
the user?
Yeah, to keep it simplified for having expertise in one particular segment and without, you know, getting too complex, and being able to reference that and then bring it back into the context of what you were originally talking about.
Right, right. So there are two things there. One is, as you're sort of building you know, different groups of scenarios that, you know, you might have one bot do, you know, a good example is if you're doing a booking agent bot, it might, one half of the functionality might be to be able to actually book a flight.
Yes.
A different set of functionality might be to be able to get a ride to the airport, and a different one might be to check weather.
That's a great example.
And so what we have right now, though, is that is actually a multi-layer problem. The first one being we need to be able to dispatch into each one of those the right way. So we have done a lot of investment in that space, and we have a tool called Dispatch, and it's available in Bot Builder Tools, that once you have built a different Lewis model, one for each scenario, that you can take, ingest all of that, and create a meta model that you can use to dispatch into the right scenario. So that's step one. And the second thing that you were asking for, I thought, was where you can get a piece of information that was captured by the first scenario and then make that available into the second scenario.
Yeah.
So the recent changes that we have made to the core bot framework itself, you're in control of bot state. So you can have the dialogue and user and conversational state in your own Azure storage or Cosmos DB or wherever you choose you want to have it. But we don't have any native support to be able to pass that around, except for the basic infrastructure that lets you to hook into the backend database. But then you're in control of state data, so you should be able to persist information that you want either across conversations, for the same user across conversations, or within that specific dialogue, depending on how you structure your code.
Okay. Do you have a sample of that dispatch on
yes.
GitHub?
So GitHub bot builder samples, bot builder hyphen samples, is we've got like 27 or so samples in there.
Okay, and my last question was,
yeah.
Do you guys also have a sample using Twilio to do an SMS-based kind of bot?
I'm not
sure. Twilio is already a channel we support.
Oh, it is. Great.
Yes, yeah. do check out the dispatch. I would love to hear your feedback.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Great session. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, two questions. One was when you're showing the code there, and then you created the Lewis model, and then you replaced the explicit intents with the Lewis intents. Yep. And then, you know, you quickly also added the Q&A service there as well, the Q&A maker.
Right. But I actually added the Q&A maker as the first thing. It was way earlier.
So if you could just bring up that code, if that's...
Yeah.
Shall we take this offline?
We still have 10 more minutes, so it should be good. So this is where we added the Q&A maker model, which was like the third demo that I showed, because that was going to help you do simple singleton conversations. And then this code that we added was the exact same thing that I had later on. So the later on at the end when I added Lewis, this part of the code stays the same. So this stuff didn't change at all. That was already there. And the only thing that I did was swapped out to the Lewis intent.
So, you know, conceptually, that's interesting. So you're really bringing the Q&A. So you passed a site and then Lewis modeled together.
Right. So there are multiple different ways that you can do that. I think the meta question maybe you're trying to ask is, should I call Lewis first and then as a fallback call Q&A maker? That isn't the right thing, because depending on how you set up your intents and example utterance inside Lewis, you might have false positives from Lewis where the questions that should have been answered by Q&A never end up banking there. And so depending on your scenario, if you run into that, the dispatch tool that I was just talking about, it can also take a look at all your Q&A models and then create a meta model that analyzes what's in your Q&A, what's in your Lewis, and then it can dispatch into the right place. And so we've thought about that exact same problem. And so if your scenario needs that, but that's not the common scenario, that's why I didn't show that in here. But if your sophisticated scenario needs that, then we have the tool for you to be able to get that set up.
So two more questions.
Sure.
In the multi-turn scenario that you had showed,
yeah,
you are explicitly managing, the bot developers mm-hmm. are explicitly managing the state.
Yep.
What about, managing the state for ourselves, like supporting a multi-turn natively? Is that something, from doing inferences yourself and sort of managing the state for us rather than us having to manage that state? Is that
the concept? One of the things, depending again on your scenario, if that's something that is required or is interesting, we've announced Project Conversation Learner. I don't know if you have heard of it. It's where you're basically providing a bunch of examples to a machine learning model, or is an AI system, and it does implicit state management. You can go look at the state, and you can hook in your business logic into it, but it gives you a bare bone where you're not explicitly managing state, but you're just providing example conversations and then building a model on top. So it might be a good thing for your scenario. Again, the meta thing is that we have the breadth of tools and breadth of solutions, but it isn't that one size fits all, and it really depends on the specific scenario you're trying to accomplish. But we do have the...
Signed up for... That's an experimental...
Right. It's available as Cognitive Labs.
Cognitive Labs capability. And the final question for you, Elaine, is you talked about testing the bots. Is there any tooling available where I can, maybe another bot, which, goes through my conversations and tries out all of the edge scenarios and chaos scenarios and tells me how well it is doing. Any automation or framework that you know of which will help me evaluate the bot rather than, learn on the go?
I don't think we have any particular framework on that yet.
Right, you're more looking for unit and integration testing kind of experience, is that right?
Generate the test data for me and test it and tell me the quality of the bot and help me improve the bot.
Yeah, so the thing that we have right now, though, is the bot framework emulator that you saw in action. One of the things that we are also looking at is possibly, and it's already available as open source project on GitHub, and so we want to take, what we have seen some of our developers do is also take the core of the emulator and then use that for a batch testing or being able to replay a bunch of conversations and see how the conversation model is performing. But we want to be able to get to a point where we can mature that into a package so that you can use that for your testing needs, but we're not there yet.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure, thank you.
Mark, can I jump in for a quick answer to that from the bot framework team? There's two things that I don't think came through in the presentation. One is that the emulator loading up a transcript really gives you the ability to look at a conversation at any point in time, which means you can take the logs from your actual conversations with users and bring them back and load them up and debug them as if they were live. And the other thing is that the V4 SDK has been completely refactored so that you have great flexibility over how you run your code, and that includes the ability to drive unit tests, use the transcripts from your logs or generated transcripts to be able to drive unit tests. And so we have a lot of flexibility in the new V4 SDK, which is in preview in our GitHub repos.
That was a question. Thanks, Tom.
I got a couple of questions. One is, when we're using Lua's app, if we have unknown utterances, some random utterances, does that app learn or store that and score accordingly to the intent, or do we need to manually do that?
No, so to start off with, when you use Lua's as an example for your initial intent determination, Lua's, by default, every single app comes with a non-intent, and the intention of the non-intent is for you to be able to add utterances that explicitly, should be things that your bot should not handle. And as you see, once you get your bot out, there will always be cases for false positives, and so that's the thing that Elaine showed, where you can look at the active learning system in Lua's and review all the utterances that users have said, and then you can continue to classify that to the non-intent. There is no right answer in terms of how many utterances you need to have in none before the machine learned model can come back and do the right thing. That really depends on the scenario. But what you have typically seen is if you are able to seed it with about 10 utterances that are varied enough, that are things that your bot absolutely cannot do, and if you add those to non-utterances, then the model actually does really well beyond that point. But until then, you do have to manually add them to the
Is there any scoring methodology that would probably automatically make it unintended?
I didn't quite understand that question.
So for the utterances, it probably uses some scoring method, right, to say, okay, this is proper intent and this is not.
Right. So when you call Lua's, you actually get a confidence score associated with the actual results returned by Lua's. So it is okay to start with doing a confidence score-based arbitration, but typically where that doesn't end up being a best practice is because as you retrain your model, all your confidence score change. So it's a moving target, really, to use a score to be able to do the determination.
Okay. My second question was, the bot app, is it always like waterfall method to enter to the bot, or can we do random questions like...
You can do random questions. It depends on how you model the conversation, right? Like, so if you're doing singleton conversations, then you can do random questions. But if you're more asking, okay, if the user is in the middle of booking a table and then they ask something else, can I handle that? You can totally handle that. Like, the waterfall system has a concept called replace. So you can replace, the existing dialog stack with something new. And you can also even come back and resume this previous conversation that was ongoing, or you can just go do the other task and not come back to this. You pretty much have all of that flexibility.
We can control that flow, or is it
Correct.
Stored?
Okay. Yep, you can control that flow. Yep. Great questions. Thank you. Any other questions? Elaine and I will also hang out down here. Thanks a lot for joining us, and hope you had a fantastic build. Thanks, everyone.